With informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. One of the most well-known tales to come out of the September 11th attacks may, in fact, not be true. That's at least according to an investigation into the hijackings reported to Congress last month. Of course, two planes were crashed into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center and a third into the Pentagon. But now there are new details emerging about what exactly may have happened on board that fourth plane, which crashed in a field outside Pittsburgh. More from correspondent Priscilla Huff.
Officially, no one will ever know exactly what transpired in the final minutes of Flight 93. An FBI spokeswoman says every shred of evidence indicates this plane crashed because of the heroic actions of the passengers. But now, an 858-page federal report suggests government investigators believe hijacker Ziad Jarrah was advised to crash the plane before the passengers succeeded in retaking it. That's apparently what FBI Director Robert Mueller told a closed-door congressional hearing last month. The plane was supposed to be crashed into the White House, but all 33 passengers and 7 crew members died when it crashed in a Pennsylvania field. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Yet another American soldier is dead after being shot in Iraq. So far, military officials aren't saying anything about the circumstances surrounding the shooting, except the soldier was on guard duty in Baghdad and his death is still under investigation. The continuing security problems in Iraq are expected to come up today in Crawford, Texas, when President Bush meets with Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Richard Myers. A state of emergency has been declared in one South Florida town after a tornado ripped through Palm Beach County last night. About 500 homes were damaged, several cars blown off the roads, and also several semi-tractor trailers knocked off their wheels. The mayor of Riviera Beach has declared a state of emergency, and he imposed a curfew last night, hoping to prevent any possible looting. No one was seriously injured or killed in the twister. South Florida is bracing again for more severe weather. Forecasters say the same wind patterns that brought on yesterday's tornado will dominate the region today.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all...
Feeling. Whoa, 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 feeling.
Just because I look like... Doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking... You're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
The battle over missing Democrats in Texas is now in the courts, with Republicans and Democrats suing their colleagues. 11 Democrats from the Texas State Senate are holed up in an Albuquerque, New Mexico hotel room to block voting on a Republican-backed congressional redistricting plan. Americans are being urged to take extra steps to protect themselves from mosquito bites as West Nile virus activity heats up. Federal health officials have reported in the past 2 weeks alone the number of confirmed human West Nile cases has tripled. Mosquito repellents containing DEET are the best way to ward off bites and any possible infections.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here to talk to you about InPhone, the advanced, enhanced, totally modern directory assistance available all across this great country of ours. Just dial 888-411-1111, and the super-friendly operator will help you access phone numbers or movie times, even driving directions to the theater. So call InPhone at 888-411-1111 and tell them Governor Jesse sent you. InPhone, how can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first five...
Panel created to advise NASA as it prepares to restart the shuttle programs, wrapping up 3 days of meetings at the Kennedy Space Center. More on the story from correspondent Rory O'Neill.
Former astronaut Richard Covey flew on the first shuttle mission after the loss of Challenger and co-chairs the Return to Flight Task Group. He says NASA faces many of the same issues today as it did following the 1986 disaster.
You know, from my experience, looking at this, having been a part of the Challenger, there are some. It's different in some aspects, but there are some similarities.
Covey says his panel was put together to ensure that recommendations made by the Columbia Accident Investigation Board are implemented by NASA. The CAIB's full report is expected later this month. Rory O'Neill at the Kennedy Space Center.
A 40-year-old Vatican document is bringing more controversy to the church. It says if a priest tries to solicit sex from someone trying to give a confession, the allegation against the priest should be pursued, quote, in a most secretive way. Church leaders say the document's taken out of context. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. What could the Lost in Space robot and Star Wars R2-D2 have in common with a phenomenon called dieseling? Will Robinson and Luke Skywalker know, and when I come back, I'll tell you.
Asphalt, rubber, metal, speed. This is racing for Tony Stewart, Dale Earnhardt Jr., Matt Kenseth, and John Andretti. There's one more key to racing, Champion Spark Plugs. They race different makes of cars, Chevy, Pontiac, Dodge, Ford. But they all trust Champion because they all have the same destination, the winner's circle. Champion powers all.
Be sure to ask your service technician or auto parts retailer for Champion Spark Plugs.
Just like Will and Luke have some far-fetched friends to warn them of impending danger, your car has ways to warn you of the impending danger of neglected maintenance. One tune-up red flag is dieseling. Known as afterrun, dieseling occurs when an engine chugs on after the ignition is turned off. Causes? Inferior gas, excessive idle speed, and carbon in the combustion chamber. Dieseling is just one warning that, if neglected, may leave you lost in space. The space alongside the road. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us! Brought to you by Champion, the world's favorite spark plug.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Army Major Frank Curtis shows Bechtel Corp's rep a school a local firm redid for $17,000, about half of what a U.S. company charges. Now, this is what has happened here. This is from today's Wall Street Journal. Apparently, Bechtel was hired to do a job, and they subcontracted it to a local company who did it for half of what Bechtel charged the U.S. government. Soldiers in Karbala also say Bechtel chose subcontractors to fix 40 Iraqi schools without checking past work. And, wow, what's going on here? Welcome to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. We're on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast. And also on the Sirius Radio Satellite Network, we're channel 145. Sirius Left on Sirius Radio, and also streaming live on the Internet from RadioPower.org, Live365.com, IEAmericaRadio.com, with archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. You can find our chat room at the Tom Hartman TomHartmanShow.com, www.TomHartmanShow.com, or LiberalTalkRadio.com will get you there. And just click on the chat buttons, and you can drop in to one of the most informative and well-informed conversations among some of the most intelligent people on the entire Internet. And it's, I'm not exaggerating. You will be amazed. And our interesting news. Daryl Issa in tears yesterday. In tears. Here's this guy. He spent $1.7 million of his own money. Now, he had spent millions before to buy himself a seat in Congress, which he did successfully, carpet bombing the airwaves, vastly outspending his Democratic competitor, and winning a seat in Congress the old American way, buying it. Not the old American, since 1987, really, the Boston versus Bilotti decision away. But anyway, he bought his house seat, and then he figured, well, gee, this works pretty good. I can buy a governorship. Since the turn of the century, I think it was 1915, they've had this law in the books in California that anybody can initiate a recall for any elected official. All they have to have is a certain number of signatures. So ISA, what is it? It was a million, no, 100,000 signatures? I'm spacing the number right at the moment. Anyhow, they got to have a certain number. It's a million? Yeah, a million signatures. And so ISA goes out and he says, we'll pay a buck a signature. Creates a whole little cottage industry. People flying into California, driving into California from all over the United States just to get at that job of standing out in front of the supermarkets, getting people to sign things that say, keep our schools safe. And then in small print down at the bottom, it says, recall Gray Davis. And to sign these petitions. So ISA buys himself a recall. First time in an entire century, or nearly a century, since this law was passed, that any politician thought to interfere in this process in such a way and was just quite sure that he had bought himself the governorship, just like he bought his House of Representatives seat. And then Arnold gets in the race. And this guy falls apart. Falls apart. Starts crying. It must be rough. Lose $1.7 million of your own money. Anyway, will ending the right of dissent also end democracy? Got other news we're going to sprinkle through the day here as we begin 3 hours in the Democracy Zone. Here with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, 11 minutes after the hour. John Ashcroft, this in today's newspaper, today's Burlington Free Press. I'm not sure which network, I'm assuming this is an AP story. It doesn't say, though. Possibly the Burlington Free Press just culled it. Anyhow, Ashcroft to watch judges who give light sentences. Now get this. The Attorney General of the United States, the Chief Law Enforcement Officer of the United States, who is supposed to be presiding over an impartial, non-politicized criminal justice system and legal system, and who has more than a little bit of influence, particularly in those areas where judges are political appointees rather than directly elected, over who the judges are going to be and how long they're going to keep their jobs. Who sits at the right hand of the President of the United States, Adolf Ashcroft, says, Attorney General Adolf Ashcroft wants prosecutors to closely monitor which judges impose more lenient sentences than federal guidelines recommend, a step some critics say could limit judicial independence. Herr Ashcroft directed U.S. attorneys nationwide to promptly report to Justice Department headquarters when a sentence is a, quote, downward departure, end quote, from guidelines and not part of a plea agreement or in exchange for cooperation. Critics, this article notes, say the result will be more power in the hands of prosecutors and impermissible restraints. In other words, this ain't right on judicial discretion. So much for independent judges. Judges all across America were told today that Herr Adolf Ashcroft is saying, if you don't whack people as hard as we say to whack them, then we're going to get you. What's happening to free speech in America? What is happening to our judicial process? Has all of this become so politicized that America is turning into a fascist nation? Will ending the right of dissent also end democracy? Consider this for a moment. When people think about the United States, the land of opportunity, where anybody can do anything. I mean, look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. He came over to the United States, and the guy wasn't the son of a wealthy former U.S. president and CIA director. He didn't have hundreds of millions of dollars in his trust funds and in his family fortune, unlike some other people who've risen to political prominence. Instead, he was just, you know, your average bodybuilder. Shooting steroids and pumping iron, came over to the United States, and you know, to be charitable, we should say that he has since suggested that he shouldn't have taken those steroids, and he doesn't recommend others do. In any case, He came over and he made the best of this system. I mean, America really is a land of opportunity. Yeah, there's a lot of areas where it's difficult. There's a lot of barriers, and yes, I acknowledge all those things. And it is still a land of opportunity. As are most democracies, by the way. But anyhow, when we think of democracy and we think of America, we tend to think that our greatest right is the right to own stuff, the right to build a fortune, the right to become wealthy, the right to start a business, the right to become part of the nouveau riche, the right to have stuff. And yet we discover, if you read the Bill of Rights, that the Fifth Amendment, the protection against taking, says that your things can't be taken except by appropriate legal process. Let me actually find the amendment here and read it to you, because this is really pivotal stuff. And no person shall be held, nor shall any person. Yeah, here we go. Nor shall any private property be taken for public use without just compensation. In other words, it can be taken. Your stuff can be taken. They can come along and say, we're going to build a highway. You lose your house, but we have to pay you. Similarly, throughout the Constitution and throughout our legal system, you find that you can lose all kinds of stuff. The IRS can take some of your money. State and local governments can take some of your money. You can lose property in the United States. So this isn't the most sacred of our rights in the minds of the founders. When the people who put together the Constitution of the United States, when the people who put together this country did it, they had in mind a very clear vision which suggested that there were some things, some rights, that literally were sacred, that government was not to touch. And there were other things that were like, well, these are important, but government can mess around with them if they need to. And the right to own property, the right to become a millionaire, the right to build a business, those are all there, but they are subject to government interference. They're kind of medium rights. So what are those most vital rights, those truly sacred rights, the things that government can't even pass a law about in the minds of the founders? Yes, we can throw you in jail with judicial process. We can even take away your right to freedom with judicial process. We can subject you to trial by jury, but you have to be able to make bail. I mean, there are all these. So what is it that they can't, that in the Bill of Rights it says the United States government can't even pass a law taking this one away, or these ones, this category of rights? Can't even pass a law about it. This is stuff that can't be touched. They say it in one sentence. It's an entire amendment. The First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights. Congress shall make no law. Now think about how powerful that is. It's not, gee, this would be a nice thing. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, or the right of the people to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Our right to assemble, our right to protest, our right to speak, according to the Constitution of the United States, according to the founders of this country, is the absolute most sacred, most untouchable of all our rights. And now this administration wants to shred this document and throw it out. How? We'll get into that right after this break. You're with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, where democracy is still alive and well.
Nice drive, Jim.
Thanks. You know, I wish my business plan was a straight. We just can't grow anymore with our current facility. I've looked at the price to build, but I'm afraid to spend the money.
Jim, I've known you since you've started your business. You succeeded because you made tough decisions and took risk.
Well...
Look, I had the same problem, but I called General Steel Corporation. The general helped me build my new office and warehouse, and I stayed within my budget. I couldn't believe the time and money I saved compared to traditional construction.
That's a steel building?
It sure is, but with the stucco and rock products provided by the general, you just can't tell. They engineered the building for this area and to fit my needs. When the economy rebounds, I'll be ready to gain market share.
Save time and money with a General Steel building. Call toll free 1-866-96-STEEL. Whether you need a 40 by 60 for under $13,000 or a 60 by 200 for under $49,000, call 1-866-96-STEEL. If you need space, you need the general. Call 1-866-96-STEEL today.
Now, everything you need for successful estate planning comes in one package. The new Master Estate Kit is a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you'll get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free Family Legal Guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished!
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really?
Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kicking off your morning with Doug Steffens' Good Day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time, followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7, followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your right. Get up, stand up,
welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Will ending the right of dissent also end democracy? Well, maybe a larger question, that's the larger question, maybe a subset of that question, is the right of dissent at risk? Is free speech in America at risk? You know, if you go out and rent the movie Triumph of the Will, Triumph der Willen, Triumph of the Will by Leni Riefenstahl, it was a propaganda movie made mostly around Adolf Hitler's 1934 Nuremberg speech. Or actually, it wasn't just a speech, it was like a four-day event. And it's remarkable. I mean, this thing is remarkable. You can rent it in most video rental places. You can buy it on Amazon.com. It's like 15, 18 bucks, something like that. And, you know, the CD. And it's incredible. You see, I mean, Hitler was at the peak of his popularity. And you see miles and miles as they're shooting from the back of his car of cheering, waving people and smiling children and housewives with big grins. And you know, it's brilliantly shot. And what you don't see are the literally tens of thousands of anti-Hitler protesters. They were there. They were there in 1934. Why don't you see them? Well, because Adolf Hitler, in the first year after he came to power, acknowledging that in the German Democratic Republic people had a right to free speech. Actually, I don't think it was Hitler's idea. I think it was Goebbels' idea. I have to go back and read Scherer to get the exact chronology. But anyhow, he came up with this rule that if people wanted to exercise their free speech rights to protest, they were welcome to do that someplace else. They were not allowed along the parade routes. So they would create zones, special areas where these people had to go to protest. And if the people stepped out of those areas, they got arrested. And this was fairly widely known in America. You won't find it in Leni Riefenstahl's movie, of course, because Triumph of the Will was, you know, it was a German propaganda piece. Every theater in Germany from 1936 to the end of the war was required, with every movie, to play either all of Triumph of the Will or some little clip of it. I mean, this is a major propaganda. So you won't see the protesters in that movie. But Americans back then certainly knew what was going on. And the American press talked about the protesters and how the protests were being stifled by being fenced off, cordoned off. And if the protesters got out of line, if they dared speak up in a public rally, they got arrested. This is not how to run a democracy, we said in the United States. When Henry Ford and Charlie Lindbergh were out there saying, Adolf Hitler's just what the world needs. We should make America more like him. Fascism is a good thing. The attempted overthrow of Roosevelt by New York bankers. We'll get into that in another show in some detail. It's a fascinating story. There was actually an attempt at a coup d'etat here in the United States. And these guys wanted to install a fascist regime. And of course, one of the first things would have been stifle protest, put these people outside the main area. This now has come to America. I'll tell you about it right after this break. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. The axe has fallen on workers in the city of Pittsburgh. In a desperate attempt to keep the city out of bankruptcy, this week Mayor Tom Murphy announced the immediate closing of most non-essential city services and the layoff of 731 workers, or one in every six city employees. All 200 school crossing guards are out of work, and 10% of the police force will be laid off as well. With these cuts and the complete depletion of a $28 million rainy day fund, Pittsburgh will just about break even for the rest of the fiscal year, provided anemic tax revenues and state and federal aid don't continue their decline.
New York City's firefighters smell a rat, thousands of them, in fact. Wet weather coupled with cutbacks in garbage collection have led to an explosion in New York's rodent population, and the city's old firehouses are especially prone to infestations. On Tuesday, a firehouse in Queens was closed permanently after becoming overrun by rats, and on Wednesday, a request from the Uniformed Firefighters Association for information on the pests yielded 17 complaints in only 4 hours.
10 years ago, baggage handlers, ticket agents, and other ground staff at Northwest Airlines took concessions in their contract in exchange for stock in the company. The deal was such that Northwest agreed to buy back the stock at a later date, which would enrich the workers to the tune of $100 million. That date has arrived, but Northwest now says it can't make the transaction, citing the slump in the airline industry. So the workers, represented by the International Association of Machinists, have filed suit to force the buyback and claim their money. They join Northwest flight attendants who sued the airline in June after the company reneged on a similar deal.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit our website, laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it, Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
On the IE America Radio Network in our chat room, TomHartmanShow.com. You can take the chat links to it. Shep asks, where did it go? This stuff is, Shep's GC2003 says, this stuff is very scary, Tom, but what would be the next move? What was Hitler's next move against free speech and democracy? Well, his next move was he started arresting people for speaking out. He started arresting people for what they were reading. He started a phone in your neighbors program where literally people were being denounced on the radio because somebody had phoned them in. It was one of the most popular programs. Phone in tips on your neighbors. By the way, another folk, Zen Pickle says, Daryl, ISIS squandered millions buying democracy. Yeah, and I would say, actually, it's anti-democratic, that democracy has to do with voting and, I mean, that's, you know, democracy. The republic is the laws part and the democracy is the voting part. And the Republicans actually are anti-democracy. I mean, they overthrew the election of 2000. They're trying to overthrow the election in California. With redistricting in Texas, they're trying to overthrow the elections in Texas. In Colorado, with redistricting, they're trying to overthrow the elections in Colorado. It's like, well, who cares what the people want? Who cares what the people have to say? We will go to court and change the outcome of the elections. That's the Republican strategy. They hate democracy, it seems. So anyhow, back to Adolf Ashcroft here. What can we do about it? We can vote them out, by the way. What can we do about this? What can we do about this mess? Participate in 2004. Will ending the right of dissent also end democracy? Is that going to end democracy? 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Billy in Santa Cruz is on the line. Billy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, thanks, Tom. Now something finally we can agree on.
Okay, great.
We're
batting one for three.
About how the Republicans are anti-democratic is just 1,000% correct. You know, they remind me of Al-Qaeda. And by that I mean they have no boundary control. They're willing to damage this great system of us believing our votes count to gain power.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's absolutely power at any expense. I mean, if you look at all the one of the questions I was asking yesterday is, you know, why did we attack Iraq? And there was in the news pile that I have here somewhere there, and I'll have to get to it. Somebody is suggesting that the reason why we attack, oh, it was Hans Blix yesterday on Sweden on radio in Sweden. Hans Blix said, number one, that by attacking Iraq, we violated international law. Number two, that he and all the inspectors knew that there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, and they repeatedly told the Bush administration that. And number three, that he believed that the reason why we attacked Iraq was essentially, he didn't use this metaphor, but I will, was essentially the same reason Harry Truman dropped the atomic bomb on Japan, which was largely to scare the bejesus out of the Russians. In other words, to say, we've got it now, look out. And he said, post 9/11, we had to show that we had the power, we had the ability to project American power. And so this was just a giant fireworks show.
Exactly. And if we have to kill a few hundred or a few thousand Iraqis to make a point in the Middle East, our respect for life doesn't seem to extend beyond fetuses.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, or stem cells.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of things quickly. I want to, you know, you just ran a thing about the airlines refusing to buy back stock that they'd promised to buy.
Right.
And just quickly about the airlines, the airline managements are the worst management of any business around. No one has made money off the airlines except them. And by that I mean stockholders who buy airline stock have never made money unless they found a very interesting period to hold it in. But if you bought stock 30 years ago in the airlines, you didn't make a dime up to now. And certainly the airlines don't serve their rank-and-file employees. So the managers of airlines are much like, you know, the people at Enron. They're thieves. They have no internal – this goes back to the Republicans. They have no boundary control. Their greed has no boundary control. Now let's move to the recall, talking about, in a sense, greed and no control. Bill Simon just announced that he's going to run here.
The former Republican challenger to Gray Davis in the last election.
Yeah, a year ago, the guy lost in a fair election to Gray Davis. So the one guy who shouldn't have run in the recall is this guy, Simon, because he lost fair and square. But again, yeah. No control, no self-control, so that he now has jumped in. And you know what he says, a la Nixon? I've got a plan to end the budget crisis. in California.
A secret plan. Well, Arnold said the same thing yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, he said, they said, what are you going to do? And he said, we'll get that information for you. We're working on that.
Hey, here's the big problem I have with Arnold, too. Because, you know, being a liberal Republican, obviously that looks better. But the fact is that, number one, when Arnold made his speech, he said that the economic crisis in California is due to the mismanagement of Gray Davis. Well, I'm not impressed with Davis, but that's the biggest lie you could tell. It has nothing to do with Gray Davis.
Gray Davis is
not the reason Silicon Valley fell out of bed. It's just not.
Right, and Gray Davis is not the reason that Enron manipulated energy prices in California, and Gray Davis is not the reason that the economy in the United States tanked.
Exactly. So right away, the first thing we get from Schwarzenegger is this willingness to sort of lie about the situation to make the stupider people feel comfortable.
Yeah, it's an old demagogue's trick. Billy, thank you for the comments. Thanks for sharing that with us. I appreciate you calling in. I want to get back to this. Will ending the right of dissent also end democracy? Three protesters arrested in 2002. This is from yesterday's news, the Herald Tribune. Three protesters arrested at a 2002 rally attended by President Bush sued the United States Secret Service and others Wednesday, arguing that their First Amendment rights... Remember those most sacred rights? Their First Amendment rights were violated when they were arrested for refusing to picket inside specified zones. Now, I don't recall the United States Constitution saying you have a right to assembly within specified zones. No, it says Congress shall make no law that shall, respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or the press or the right of the people, Congress shall make no law limiting the right of the people to peaceably assemble and petition the government for a redress of grievances. No law! And yet when George Bush came to power, he and his brother Jeb down in Florida instantly, began this policy that Adolf Hitler put into place in 1933 of fencing in protesters. Joe Redner, 63, Adam Elin, 26, Jeff Marks, 31, were arrested by Hillsborough County, Florida sheriff's deputies in November at a Jeb Bush campaign rally because they would not move into a Secret Service designated, quote, free speech zone, end quote. This free speech zone was 1/2 mile away from the event. There were a couple of hundred people there at the protest zone, but you couldn't see it from where the event was happening, said Adam Elin, 26, one of the three arrested. Now, Bruce Winnick, a professor at the University of Miami School of Law, who's got no dog in this fight, he's just a lawyer, law school professor, was interviewed for this story. He said it is appropriate for government to have restrictions on people's behavior. For example, you have to be a reasonable distance from a hospital if you're going to make loud noise that, you know, could interfere with people's healing, their ability to sleep. When I have a rock concert, move it down the street. But he said, and first of all, he doesn't point out, and I would say, that the First Amendment says that our right to peaceably assemble to redress, to petition the government for redress of grievances, shall not be violated under any circumstances. Are you outraged by this? Anyhow, Bruce Winnick goes on to say, if you are going to have limitations on who can speak and where, you have to apply it equally to supporters and protesters. If you're going to use this nonsensical rationale that the Secret Service has been using of, oh, well, we don't want these people too close to the president for their own safety. They might inflame the supporters of the president. We would pick fights with them. We don't want fist fights to break out. He says, so the restrictions must be applied equally to protesters and supporters. So the question is, he says, is the Secret Service applying this in a viewpoint-neutral way? Eland, one of the protesters arrested, said the Secret Service and deputies discriminated at the Tampa rally, mostly allowing those with pro-Bush signs to get close to Bush and to stay nearby, and sending anti-Bush protesters a half a mile away to the, quote, free speech zone. A phrase worthy of Joseph Goebbels. They applied it totally based on the signs, said Eland. Redner, another one of the guys who was arrested, holding an anti-Bush sign, standing outside the free speech zone, said he understands the Secret Service must do his job of protecting the president. This is another one of their rationales. These guys don't like the president. They may be more likely to threaten him. They may be the ones who are going to, like, you know, the way Hinckley shot Reagan. They may be the ones who are the secret assassins. Well, of course, first of all, you got to get through a metal detector to get within, you know, range of this guy, which is increasingly and unfortunately appropriate. But Redner says, and I quote, "But if somebody wanted to kill the president, I think they'd go in with a sign saying, 'I love the president,'" end quote. I mean, I don't think that somebody who's got evil intent against an elected official and wants to get close to them to cause them harm is going to go in with a protest sign, even if they allow protesters near them. But now they're not. No, if you want to protest in the United States of America, you must go a half mile away and get inside an area with a chain link fence around it where there's no reporters to notice you. And you won't disrupt our great leaders' presentations. Barney Frank of Massachusetts and 10 other members of Congress have written to Attorney General Adolph Ashcroft asking that charges be dropped against a South Carolina activist. This is another one, a whole other one, arrested last October for carrying a sign into a presidential rally that said, "No more war for oil." Frank said Wednesday that putting protesters in specified zones is wrong and that the Secret Service sometimes forgets that this is a democracy. "We have a free speech zone already," says Congressman Barney Frank. "It's called the United States of America." Zen Pickle posted to our message board, TomHartman.com, go to the message, or TomHartmanShow.com, go to the message boards. "Is America becoming fascist?" This is an article that is published in Adbusters magazine. And Max Frankel, former editor of the New York Times, quotes, I don't know how to pronounce it, Joachim Fest, in his review of Albert Speer. Albert Speer wrote an autobiography about his years with Hitler. So Fest writes a review of it, and Frankel quotes the review. So it's kind of confusing. But anyhow, here's what the former editor of the New York Times said. He's quoting Fest. "How easily, given appropriate conditions, people will allow themselves to be mobilized into violence, abandoning the humanitarian traditions they have built up over centuries to protect themselves from each other." And then this article in Adbusters, the author suggests, the article's titled, "Is America Becoming Fascist?" And the author says, "The pace of events in the last 2 years has been almost as blindingly fast as it was after Hitler's consolidation of fascist power in 1933. Speed stuns and silences. Fascism is home. It is here to stay, and it better be countered with all the resources at our disposal," says this Adbusters article. "American fascism taps into the perennial complaints against liberalism, that it fails to provide an authentic sense of belonging to the majority of people." Last night there was a fascinating on the History Channel or Discovery Channel, History Channel, fascinating thing in the history of the Ku Klux Klan. And the main point that they made Because the Klan was a huge, it was the largest social club in the United States in 1915. Millions of members. In 1944, maybe it was 1945, one of those 2 years, 44,000 Klan members marched on Washington, D.C. and were treated respectfully. There were Klan members of Congress. The entire state of Indiana, the governor, the entire legislature were taken over by the Klan at one point. And the main thing in this documentary, the main thing that the Klan offered these folks was a sense of belonging. A sense of, this is our tribe. And those guys out there, they're not part of our tribe. We got to get them. That's the mindset of fascism. Will ending the right of dissent also end democracy? Is it happening today in America? Maybe. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole? Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Ms. Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
When the gas light comes on in your car, do you tap it to try to turn it off? When you get a flat tire, do you drive around hoping it will reinflate? No. But right now, you could be ignoring a battery problem, which is why there's DieHard Express, only at Sears Auto Center. DieHard Express is more than a battery service. It's a complete checkup for your car's electrical system. Our experts will look for common problems, and if it's the battery, we'll install a new DieHard, America's most preferred battery.
DieHard Express. Sears. Good life. Great price. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Doug, listening to you sing Back on the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Molloy
Night Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, Bartkop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't
he? Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Taking better care of business here on the IE America Radio Network. This is Tom Hartman. Federal Judge Charles S. Haight Jr. in New York City is all upset. Today's New York Times, he discovered that when the police were arresting protesters in anti-war rallies, they were asking them their views on the war and whether they hated President Bush. There was actually a form, they called it a debriefing form, with these questions on it that the police were asking protesters about their political opinions. This is outrageous. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Phil in Hillsborough, Florida. Phil, we've got just about 2 minutes here in this segment of the show. What's up?
I live in Pinellas County, which is adjacent to Hillsborough County that you're speaking of. It's generally the Tampa area. They had a rally after the war was launched in Clearwater at a park, and it was sponsored by Clear Signal or Clear something
Clear
or other.
Clear Channel.
And
the biggest,
and a right-wing
on 1200
screamer,
radio stations.
Beck, I don't remember what the guy's first name is. And they kept out anybody who didn't agree with that war. I got news for you.
But they're a private corporation. I mean, they can do
no,
that.
No, wait. Bush
we're
was at
the president showing up.
Jeb was there.
Oh.
Yeah, Jeb was the featured speaker. Okay. And, and that was a public park paid for with public funds. Okay. The other thing is that I remember about 2 months ago, Bush was in Chicago, and there was a huge demonstration of the unemployed in Chicago. It was not on NBC or CBS. I only found out about it because I watched BBC. The major networks, they are going to cover that huge demonstration of the unemployed in Chicago. Well, Bush was there, but BBC would. You know, the media's in on this. These guys have cushy, well-paying jobs. They live in the upper 1% of income in this country. They're not going to do anything
to
negative impact on their lifestyle. And if that means sucking
Phil,
up,
that music means that we've run out of time here. But I agree with you. They don't want to rock the boat, and they're not gonna fight it. You're with Tom Hartman on the Tom Hartman Program, where democracy is still alive and well. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from a field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi,
truth seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. Indonesian authorities say they've identified a body part found at the scene of a Jakarta hotel bombing this week that belongs to a member of the Islamic militant group Jamaah Islamiyah. Dan Murphy, the Southeast Asia correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor, says it could be the key to helping Indonesian police close in on the group.
They've rather gruesomely reconstructed the head of the fellow who was in the car that blew up, and they've managed to trace back to a few other people that they believe were its associates and that they say were in the Jamaah Islamiyah network.
At least 14 people were killed in that Marriott hotel bombing. Jamaah Islamiyah is also believed to have carried out last year's bombing attacks on the island of Bali that killed over 200 people. One of the most well-known tales following the September 11th attacks may not be true. That's at least according to an investigation into the hijackings reported to Congress last month. Of course, two planes crashed into the World Trade Center and a third was crashed into the Pentagon. But now there are new details emerging about what exactly may have happened to that fourth plane, which crashed in a field outside Pittsburgh. More from correspondent Priscilla Huff.
Officially, no one will ever know exactly what transpired in the final minutes of Flight 93. An FBI spokeswoman says every shred of evidence indicates this plane crashed because of the heroic actions of the passengers. But now, an 858-page federal report suggests government investigators believe hijacker Ziad Jarrah was advised to crash the plane before the passengers succeeded in retaking it. That's apparently what FBI Director Robert Mueller told a closed-door congressional hearing last month. The plane was supposed to be crashed into the White House, but all 33 passengers and 7 crew members died when it crashed in a Pennsylvania field. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
And as is expected, Iraq's still a very dangerous place for American soldiers, as evidenced by the death of yet another troop there. While withholding many of the details, military officials say the soldier was killed in Baghdad. He was on guard duty while he was shot. Earlier this week, a civilian contractor was killed when his vehicle hit a landmine.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like... Doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. Really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
Former Vice President Al Gore says the nation's direction is, quote, deeply troubling. Speaking at New York University yesterday, Gore blasted the Bush administration on issues ranging from the national economy to Iraq. As for the fast-rising national debt, Gore warned of a, quote, emerging fiscal catastrophe. The American Civil Liberties Union is trying to delay California's gubernatorial recall vote until March. ACLU is suing the Secretary of State, demanding the use of modern voting technology in the October election. An attorney for the ACLU's Southern California branch says punch card technology is, quote, absolutely guaranteed to distort the results in a close race.
And we're playing all your favorites, but right now I have a pair of free tickets to tonight's big concert for the third caller. Oh, let's go to the phone lines. They are heating up, and let's see. Hello.
Hello.
Is this Ms. Shannon Johnson?
Yes, it is.
Oh, you sound very excited.
I am.
Well, Ms. Johnson, I have good news.
I'm the third caller.
No, I just saved a load of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
The spiritual leader of the Anglican Church has called an urgent meeting of senior members to discuss the fallout of the appointment of gay Bishop Gene Robinson here in America. His confirmation as the next Bishop of New Hampshire is threatening to split the worldwide faith. More from correspondent Suzanne Chislett.
The more conservative branches of the Anglican Church have already warned the confirmation of its first openly gay bishop could lead to divisions. Leaders from Asia and Africa say Reverend Robinson's appointment is contrary to the Christian tradition and that it goes against the teachings of the Bible. The Archbishop of Canterbury admits anxieties have reached the point where church officials need to sit down and discuss the consequences of the U.S. confirmation. Dr. Rowan Williams is summoning delegates to a meeting in London in the hope that any permanent damage can be avoided. The statement issued by the Archbishop urges followers to preserve respect for one another and their common bonds when they meet in the British capital in October. Suzanne Chislett, London.
And I'm Corey Morris, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. On missions, master spies synchronize their watches. In ballets, talented choreographers synchronize their dancers. And in One Direction, manual transmissions synchronize their gears. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it. We've all seen the Tornado device on TV and wondered if it really worked. I was also skeptical at first, until we tested 6 Tornado units, and in every case, we got more miles per gallon and felt more power. Gasoline's expensive, so when we find something that saves us money, it just makes sense to get it. Call 800-500-8880 and order your Tornado unit today, or visit TornadoAir.com. Like the Mission Impossible team goes forward by synchronizing their watches, manual transmissions go forward by synchronizing their gears. For smooth transitions as you shift, the rotational speed of one set of forward gears is matched by synchronizer rings to the speed of meshing gears. Reverse gear, however, is not synchronized, so it sometimes grinds in protest. Here's a hint. Don't force it. Just push the clutch in and pause a few seconds, then try it again. Now, you're in sync with both your gears. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
Welcome back. We're on the IE America Radio Network, live coast to coast, broadcasting from the Sirius Satellite, channel 145. And live on the internet, radiopower.org, live365.com, and iamericaradio.com. This is Tom Hartman. Just a quick overview of the news, and then I want to get into our topic for this hour, which is, by the way, going to be how does oil figure into George Bush's 2004 election plans? And really, I see all of this as part of that same fabric. Here we have the Washington Post this week reporting that the EPA's Inspector General has launched an internal investigation into whether Christine Todd Whitman and other administration officials have been, quote, deliberately misleading the public by overstating the purity of the nation's drinking water, end quote. Whitman said in a public statement recently that 94% of us have water that's safe to drink. But when they actually looked at the EPA audits, well, and I quote from the Washington Post, EPA audits for at least 5 years have suggested that the percentage of the population with safe drinking water is much lower, 79-84%, putting an additional 30 million Americans at potential risk. And not only that, According to an EPA briefing by Deputy Assistant Administrator for Water Michael H. Shapiro of the EPA, they found that states were underreporting major violations by as much as 50%. So the numbers are even worse than that. Is Whitman lying on orders from up above, or is that just something that everybody in this administration does? Well, according to today's New York Times, and I quote, "The Bush administration persistently manipulates scientific data to serve its ideology and protect the interests of its political supporters," a report by the minority staff of the House Committee on Government Reform says. This is the report that Congressman Henry Waxman commissioned. It, and I quote again, "accused the administration of compromising the scientific integrity of federal institutions that monitor food, medicine, conduct health research, control disease, and protect the environment. On all these levels, according to the study, quote, this administration, quote, has manipulated the scientific process and distorted or suppressed scientific findings," end quote. They go on to say, and I quote, from the study, from the report, "the administration's political interference with science has led to misleading statements by the president, inaccurate responses to Congress, altered websites, suppressed agency reports, erroneous international communications, and the gagging of scientists," end quote. And it goes on and on. This is mind-boggling. And, of course, back to Adolf Ashcroft, we were talking about just a moment ago. Attorney General Adolf Ashcroft is hitting the road this month. He's going to try and rally people to the Victory Act. What's the Victory Act? The Vital Interdiction of Criminal Terrorist Organization Act. He's taking a 10-day, 20-state tour. Orrin Hatch is expected to introduce this. Patriot 2 is on its way. Ashcroft wants to take more of our rights, and he's going to do a road show to promote it. And if you try to protest, you will be fenced in into a free speech zone a half a mile away. But don't worry. Our democracy is in good hands. Yeah. The New Scientist just arrived. Literally. And this comes back to our question for this hour. How does oil figure into George W. Bush's 2004 election plans? This is a very tangled web, as they say. Now, yesterday we were talking about why did Bush go to war in Iraq if it wasn't for weapons of mass destruction, which he knew were not there. And if it wasn't because Saddam was going to launch an attack against the United States, because he knew he wasn't capable of it. I mean, we'd even destroyed his Air Force. We had spies on the ground. We knew this stuff. It has now come out. If it wasn't to block al-Qaeda, because we now know that George Bush knew a year ago that there were no connections whatsoever, none whatsoever, between Saddam and al-Qaeda, although al-Qaeda is today infiltrating Iraq. So if all of those excuses that he gave us were not true, why? And it wasn't just to overthrow a bad guy. Because Saddam is not the worst of the bad guys. He was a terrible man. But you compare him to Robert Mugabe, and he starts looking good. I mean, Mugabe has killed 2 million of his people. And we could take him out in an afternoon. He's got virtually no military. But... And some people say, well, you know, Bush went after Saddam because, Hans Blix yesterday said it was sort of the Hiroshima thing. It was to prove that we could do it, to scare the rest of the world. Maybe some truth in that. There are those who suggest that ever since Saddam put George Bush Sr.'s face on the entry floor to the largest hotel in downtown Baghdad, I think it's the Al Rashid, so you had to walk over the face of George Bush, and it said something about George Bush is a murderous criminal or something like that down at the bottom, spelled out in English. Ever since he did that, Junior's been on a vigilante crusade. He tried to kill my daddy, you know, like that. There are some who say it's the son trying to prove that he's better than the father. These nice psychological theories. But I think it had to do with getting reelected in 04. Part of it was to become a popular war hero. He's done that. He's got 60% of the American electorate saying, yeah, it was the right thing that we did. We don't know why, but it was the right thing. Faux news has been very successful. Old Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch, they have so many people in this country so buffaloed. Sean Hannity and his daily lie fests, just incredible. So anyhow, today the science news comes. Louise just brought the postman, just delivered this. Science News, New Scientist. New Scientist is a British publication, the leading British science publication that kind of summarizes the news of the day, you know, for the lay public. The article, Energy Special, Oil. Let me read you the first paragraph. Civilization is at a turning point. In the next 50 years, we will experience the biggest surge in energy demand in history, yet a growing number of experts are warning that the rate at which we are able to pump oil from the ground is likely to peak within a few years. If we want to keep our cars on the roads and the lights on in our homes, we must find a new source of energy, and fast. They go on to say, in another article, a sister article to this one, it's titled, Brace Yourself for the End of Cheap Oil, by Bob Holmes and Nicola Jones. A moment of truth is fast approaching, perhaps sooner than we can prepare for it. Quote, the world faces at best a global recession, at worst war, famine, and mass migration, end quote, says Richard Hardman, trustee of the London-based Oil Depletion Analysis Center and a former president of the UK Geological Society. But this crisis is not centuries away. A growing number of experts are warning that this is likely to happen within the next few years. Hardman says, quote, there is a growing consensus that we are heading for an imminent peak in oil production, if not already past it, end quote. The article goes on to say, we now find just one barrel of oil for every four that we consume. And with production already declining in the U.S. and the North Sea, the world must increasingly rely on the politically volatile Middle East and other parts of the developing world. If George Bush hadn't gone in and taken Iraq's oil, I submit to you, his economic disaster, this economic disaster that he created with his 2001 tax cuts and his profligate spending, would have gotten worse and worse and worse. Rupert Murdoch was right before the Iraq War when he said to George Bush, if you want to get reelected in 04, you better get the oil in Iraq, because if you can get oil prices, and he didn't say it in these words, but it was the essence of what he said, if you can get oil prices down below $20 a barrel, that's going to help the economy of the United States. He was right. So we see Business Week this week. What happened to cheap post-war oil? In three anxious months leading up to the Iraqi war, oil prices soared by 25% to $37 a barrel. And everybody was saying, if that war goes quickly, oil will be $25 a barrel. And if oil is $25 a barrel or less, that will be such a shot in the arm to the American economy that it'll look like those tax cuts actually did something. Even though they didn't do anything in 2001 and they didn't do anything in 2002. And Ronald Reagan had to immediately reverse his tax cuts with six consecutive years of tax increases to keep from producing the kind of disaster that we're facing right now. I mean, supply-side economics has been so discredited that there is not a credible economist in the world who will stand up for this. Bush had to fire most of the economists in his Council of Economic Advisors and replace them with politicians, just as Reagan had to. He had to find David Stockman, a former congressman with no economic training, to be his head economist, because no economist would go along with this stuff. George Bush Sr. called it voodoo economics. So anyhow, how does oil figure into George Bush's 04 election plans? Well, my suggestion is that it's all about oil. If he can get oil in here, if he can get the price of oil down, if he can bring cheap oil to America, it will boost our economy, as it did for a while. Now, here, by the way, in some newspapers, you will be reading stories that say, isn't it great that the economy in the last quarter, the second quarter, was up? You'll see that in USA Today. You'll see that in all your Gannett papers. You'll see that in the Knight Ridder reports. You'll see that in AP. Check out the Wall Street Journal, where the rich and powerful are talking to themselves. Here's a quote from today's editorial page, Friday, August 8th. Op-ed piece, The End of Maestro Economics. In the U.S., most of the growth in the second quarter was due to non-recurring war expenditures. There was no recovery in the second quarter. We just spent a whole pile of money on bombs and dropped them on people in Iraq, and that money got spent, and so it boosted the amount of money in circulation because it was spent. It looks like a recovery. It's not. It's a war. We've got serious problems here. Will oil get us out of it? Will oil get George Bush reelected? Stay tuned. We'll figure that out as we continue Talk Radio for the Rest of Us with Tom Hartman.
Hi, folks. Jesse Ventura here again to talk to you about InPhone. Just dial 888-411-1111 and ask the friendly operator anything you want to know. Movie times, movie reviews, driving directions, your mom's phone number. You ought to know your own mom's phone number. But just in case you don't, call InPhone. 888-411-1111. InPhone. How can we help you?
Only 89 cents for any call up to 15 minutes. Only 5 cents a minute after that. Your first 5 calls are free.
Well, let's see. I finally finished fixing everything I need to in the kitchen. Now, on to the baby's room. Well, little Kenny will love what I'm going to do in there.
Honey?
Huh?
Little Kenny left for college last week.
Have a lot on your list? Sears can get you through it more quickly by offering easy access to over 4.5 million parts. Call 1-800-4-MY-HOME, click on Sears.com, or come into a Sears Parts and Repair Center. Where can you find the right part for all major brands of home appliances and lawn equipment, no matter where you bought them? Sears. Good life, great price.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Lily Tomlin said, I worry that the man who invented Muzak might be thinking of inventing something else. Unfortunately, that's a worry come true, for instead of the mild annoyance of Muzak in elevators, a company with the somewhat threatening name of Captivate Network, Inc. has come up with a way to make your elevator ride much more annoying than a Muzak moment. Thanks to exciting advances in the science of wireless technology, it is now possible for outfits like Captivate to fill your 30-second ride with advertising videos. Yes, as you glide up to put in another day's work in your cubicle, you can be blessed with a yammering pitch for Right Guard, Starbucks, or Rolaids. Captivate Inc.'s elevator ads are merely the tip of the commercialization iceberg for a brave new world of advertising that calls itself the outer net industry. It sees all space outside the home as potential places for capturing consumers' ears and eyeballs for advertisers. This merciless industry is targeting doctor's offices, movie lobbies, commuter trains, convenience stores, even ski lifts. Already, Walmart, Best Buy, and 7-Eleven are putting out-of-home advertising screens in their stores. The Los Angeles Times reports that the industry operates on a simple principle. Find out where consumers are gathering and put a screen in their faces. The possibilities are boundless. Taxicabs, restrooms, bank drive-thrus, bus stops, golf tees, public parks, and along the boardwalks at the seashore. They literally can install this technology in tree trunks or on neighborhood fences, so we need never be more than a few seconds from the next product pitch. This is Jim Hightower saying, the head of one of these outer net firms claims they're doing us a favor. If you're standing in line waiting for a Big Mac and fries, you've got nothing else to do. Yes, we do. We could think beautiful thoughts or plot our revenge against these crass commercializers of our world.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Today's Wall Street Journal, the international page. Here's the key to Bush's 04 electoral hopes. George Bush's election hangs on this issue. That is, assuming that he doesn't hit another trifecta, as he said to Mitch Daniels after 9/11. God forbid there should be another terrorist attack in America. But the consensus of the pundits is that if there is, and it happens next year, sort of like those nasty guys kidnapping the people in Lebanon from the American embassy ended Jimmy Carter's presidency. Well, it'd be kind of flipped around, actually. If something bad happened in the United States in 04, it would probably actually help George Bush tremendously. But barring that, as I said, God forbid, barring that, this is the key to his electoral victory. This is the hope for the economy. Interim oil chief doesn't act interim is the headline of the article. In his first news conference in weeks, Mr. Gabadon, Thamer L. Gabadon, he's the interim head of Iraq's oil industry, said yesterday that Iraq would, quote, very soon, end quote, resume pumping oil along a crucial export pipeline to the Mediterranean port of Ceyhan, Turkey. The line has been shut since April. He also said Iraq is on track to produce 2 million barrels of oil a day by the end of the year. Right now, Iraq is producing about 1 million barrels a day. Mr. Gabadon still answers to American-led occupation officials in Baghdad who hold the purse strings and guide priorities, according to the Wall Street Journal. He has a $1.14 billion blueprint he worked out with U.S. officials for oil reconstruction efforts. Boy, can you imagine how much fresh water that could buy for the people of Baghdad? Recently approved in Baghdad and Washington. I signed it and they signed it, he said. This is Bush's electoral hope. And on the other side of the very same piece of paper in today's Wall Street Journal, you see why this is so important. This the end of Maestro Economics, the idea that Alan Greenspan has pretty much pulled every trick out of his bag of tricks. And while they're producing some small change, it ain't enough. As he said, in the U.S., most of the growth in the second quarter was due to non-recurring war expenditures. With the Fed's expressed desire not to raise rates for the indefinite future, this article in the Journal says, the three-year note should be an attractive investment. Obviously, the market doesn't believe Mr. Greenspan. What they're saying is that the stock market, the bond market, actually, is operating right now in a way that contradicts logic. Why would it do that? Because it doesn't believe Greenspan when he says he's not going to cut interest rates any further. Will he help in 04? I think that the bond market is betting that next year Greenspan is going to try a little more stimulus. But then they go on to say the housing market bubble is vulnerable to puncture. And the stock market may not be able to compete with higher bond yields. Basically, what all this boils down to is that all this hyping of the economy, rather than building an economy from the ground up, rather than trying to do things the old-fashioned way, yes, let's put people back to work. Even if the government has to be the employer of last resort over the short term, as Franklin Roosevelt did during the Great Depression, let's put people back. Well, they are doing that somewhat in the defense industry. In fact, there are some who are suggesting Newt Gingrich, for one. I mean, this is incredible. Newt Gingrich is actually suggesting that Bush should get involved in Rhodes projects. He's sounding like Roosevelt. I mean, these guys are desperate to put the economy back together after they just looted it at $2 trillion. Here in the Democracy Zone, this is Tom Hartman. I'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
City dwellers are learning to share their turf with migrating birds. I'm Jill Ladwig for Earthwatch Radio. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is working with some major cities to get them to improve the habitat for birds along flyways, which the birds use to migrate. The project is known as the Urban Conservation Treaty for Migratory Birds, and one of the latest cities to sign on is Houston, Texas. Peter Stangle is the director of the Southern Branch of the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. The foundation is working with the government to make Houston more hospitable for traveling birds.
The city of Houston is located right in the midst of the main gateway for migratory birds that are moving between North America and Latin America. And so Houston occupies a critical place, and anything we can do in the Houston environs to make that area better for migratory birds is going to be great conservation.
The Urban Conservation Treaty uses grants and technical assistance from the federal government to encourage conservation projects at the local level. Stangle says it also creates an opportunity for public education.
Obviously, the cities are where there are large numbers of people, and birds are one of the most conspicuous and commonly encountered forms of wildlife, even for city kids. And so birds are a great way to get them interested in and excited about the environment and the things that they can do to help the environment.
Stangle says the birds in Houston are small reminders of a much larger environment.
During migration, you can be in downtown Houston in a little city park, and there could well be birds that have just come up from Latin America in the trees right there.
In addition to Houston, New Orleans, Chicago, and Philadelphia have signed the Urban Conservation Treaty for Migratory Birds. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. the Wall Street Journal, The End of Maestro Economics, a nice, interesting op-ed by Melvin Krauss, who is a senior fellow at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, says the U.S. Central Bank should, and I briefly edit this, should forego manipulative hype and level with the American people about the true state of their economy. No rosy scenarios, please. The last thing we need at this state in a fragile recovery is for the stock market to suffer the same fate as bonds. Now, you see what happened. You know, the stock market went up, and then it came down, of course, as the and now the bond market is crashing. And is this going to bring about a crash in the stock market? Well, it might, because what it's doing is it's driving up interest rates, which are driving up home mortgage rates, which are causing houses to get worth less, which means it's harder for people to refinance, so they can't pull cash out of their houses, so they're not spending money. Now, the neocons and the cons will tell you, well, these tax cuts for the rich are a good thing because they put money in people's pockets. Rich people spend money too, you know, and maybe they'll even build a new business. Maybe in Taiwan, maybe in South Korea, maybe in China, but maybe in America. You never know. They might do it. What they're missing from that equation is that if that money was going into the government, I mean, setting aside the whole point that we are borrowing to give these money, this money to these people, we are borrowing from ourselves and from our children. But even if we weren't, if that money was going into government programs instead, that would be stimulative. When the government builds a road, it's used. It stimulates the economy. When the government maintains parks and people go use them, when government, certainly not all of government functions, but the majority of government functions produce things that maintain the infrastructure of the nation, that in and of themselves stimulate the economy. And those people who are working for the government are drawing paychecks and they're spending that money at the local store. They're paying their taxes. They're buying insurance. They're buying goods. They're buying food. They're buying cars. Oh, no, we're going to cut them out. Replace them with $5.15 an hour workers working for, you know, some big corporation who's buddies with the Republicans. December futures. You can get a sense of where those in the know think things are headed by looking at futures prices. Futures are where you're basically betting. You're buying a contract for delivery in December of oil. And you're saying, okay, I'll buy oil at this price in December of this year for a particular price. And that price is basically a bet. And if oil at that time is selling for less than that, you still have to buy it and you lose. And if oil is selling for more than that at that time, then whoever bet with you, whoever was selling the option, has to sell it to you at that price. You make a profit. So you look at futures and it tells you what those in the know. You know, Poindexter's thing with the futures market on terrorist assassinations? I'm not even going to go there. But the bottom line, what he was saying was, the market has its own inherent wisdom. Markets will tell you things. Well, okay, let's assume that there's some truth in that. Look at December delivery for oil right now. What are the December futures for oil? $30.76. These people who are in the know do not think oil prices are coming down, at least before the end of this year. And the main reason is because, well, to quote Business Week, and I quote, the main culprit is post-war Iraq, end quote. It wasn't until July before Iraq reached the million barrel a day milestone. And they're suggesting it won't be until next year that we get the 2 million barrels a day. Well, I'm saying that's part of Bush's plan. Keep things tight. Next year, get that oil coming out of Iraq. It'll drop the price of oil down to $22, $23 a barrel. Prices at the pump will drop. The economy will be stimulated by oil. and he will take away the Democrats' complaint about the economy, if he can do it without a crash happening first. It'd be interesting to see. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number if you'd like to be on the program today. 1-800-825-5937. And Linda in Cupertino is on the line. Linda, I know you called at the end of the show yesterday, and we had run out of time, and I'm so glad you called back. If you want to close out that topic before you get into the next one, feel free. Welcome to the program.
Hi. This is similar to what you're talking about now, which is the conservatives' fiscal viewpoint of the world. It just does not help most Americans. And I finished reading a book on tax policy about the Reagan 80s, and there was no rise in GDP. In the Reagan 80s, there was a lot of abuse going on. There were areas of the economy which were booming artificially, and there was the savings and loan, and all of those crashes. There was a market crash, I think, in 1987 or something around there. There was so much upheaval in the 80s because Reagan was cutting taxes very sharply. And raising deficits very sharply, and that is exactly what we're doing now. It did not result in a rise in GDP. That would mean to me that most Americans should have been able to benefit from the tax cuts, but in jobs, in everything. But it did not happen, and it will not happen.
And this is where you see the essential lies. I mean, let's just call it what it is. The lies of the cons, especially these right-wing talk show hosts who have invented a new mythology about Ronald Reagan brought us all this prosperity. In fact, he didn't. And they say he did it by cutting taxes. In fact, 6 out of 7 years, he raised taxes. The third largest tax increase in American history. In aggregate, Reagan raised more taxes more than any president in history. Pardon me, Linda.
Yeah, I mean, someday the myth of Reagan will be exploded. He was an ideologue, very much like Bush Jr. is. But Bush Jr. is more scary because he's a religious ideologue.
who says, don't bother me with the facts. I mean, Reagan, at least, in his Alzheimer fog, at least had some semi-rational advice. You know, like James Baker, came out against the war. He was... Anyhow, thank you, Linda, for
it's
the
history.
Comment.
It's history. Yeah. Let's everyone read it and benefit from it.
Yeah, Sleepwalking Through History, by the way, I'm drawing a blank on his name now. He won the Nobel Prize or the Pulitzer Prize for one of his books. Haynes Johnson, Sleepwalking Through History, The History of the Reagan Years, is also an excellent book. Thanks, Linda. I appreciate the call. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. 1-800-825-5937. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. How does oil figure into George Bush's 2004 election plans? At 17 minutes before the hour, Jim in New Milford, Connecticut. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Good afternoon, sir. I learned so much from your show. Love it.
Well, thank you, Jim.
A couple of things. They're together, though. I believe if we are some way able to get to these Reagan-Bush papers that Sun put in in the library in Texas, along with his papers when he was a governor of Texas, along with the papers that he's producing now, with the energy papers that Dick Cheney keeps hiding, and then get the truth behind the 9/11 investigation, I believe we'll find out why we went to war.
I think if we were to do that, you'd end up with criminal prosecutions.
I believe
these guys are hiding something serious.
They are hiding something, and the rat is still in the hole, but I think we're going to flush him out eventually. But anyway, I wonder about, the sector in the economy that grew the most was the defense sector. I'm wondering if it's possible to find out what stocks within that sector grew the most, and then find out what stocks the Carlyle Group owns. The culprit is in the hen house, and I believe that if Bush is handing away all this money to his buddies, I believe he might want to take some for himself. And, you know, he's a greedy little guy. I mean, look what he did to Texas and the Texas Rangers and the stadium. I mean, he built that state out of $17 million. So, you know, there's a lot to be exposed about this rat yet, and I think eventually we're going to find out. But I was just curious what you think about that. And I'll just hang up and let you comment on that.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. I with regard to George Bush in general, I really try. Honest to goodness, I really try to believe that people are trying for the best intentions, that people are working for the best. And I think that at some level, George Bush really thinks, he's really bought into this Ayn Rand bizarre philosophy that if you just leave everything to corporations, everything will work out, and is so ignorant of history and of basic economics, and in particular of the history of feudalism and of democracy, that he just doesn't understand what he's doing. I mean, that's the only thing I can come up with. On the one hand. And on the other hand, of course, his entire lifetime, at least his entire business lifetime, has been based on making money off his buddies and his daddy's buddies, particularly his Saudi buddies. I mean, keep in mind, it was a Saudi prince who bailed him out when Harkin was in trouble and who helped him buy the Texas Rangers. The same Saudis who he doesn't want anybody talking about in this congressional study that they excised all these pages from, the same Saudis that his father is in business with the Carlyle Group, as you point out. And I am, you know, I'm sure Carlyle Group stocks have exploded. They've gone right through the roof. If they haven't, well, somebody let me know. I mean, I'll check into it, actually. But it would be impossible. I mean, you know, Carlyle primarily invests in defense stocks and buys defense companies. Here's another little anomaly that I noticed in the news this week. There was just a small article in the Wall Street Journal a couple of days ago. I didn't clip it out. I just kind of made a mental note of it. And it was this article in Business Week here yesterday that caused me to remember it, where they were talking about how the United States government right now, right here today as we speak at this moment, is buying as much oil as it can, as quickly as it can, to restock our strategic oil inventory. It's at a five-year low right now. Now, a five-year low is not desperate straits. I mean, it's just a five-year low. It's not like a 70-year low. But we are buying oil hand over fist at high prices to stock up the strategic oil reserve. And it's one of the things that's actually helping keep the price of oil high on international markets. Why would we do that? And then I was reading this Business Week thing, and they talk about how, you know, the outages in Iraq, Venezuela, and Nigeria. These are the three areas, by the way. Nigeria, which is like right next to Liberia, and Iraq, the two main places that supply 10% of the world's oil that we happen to have our military in. Anyhow, both of these places have been exporting less oil over the last year and a half, 2 years than they typically do, because in Nigeria they had, in fact, there's a strike threatened this month. Again, they're having civil unrest. People are upset. And, of course, we know what happened in Iraq. Same thing in Venezuela. So he's pumping up the inventories. Now, all of these things are expected to resolve next year. They're working very hard to resolve these civil problems in Nigeria, distributing more money to the people from the oil companies and from the oil revenues, and they're actually, you know, we're working in that. Venezuela is getting its act together. We're getting the oil being pumped out of Iraq. So next year, perhaps even by December of this year, but with the virtual certainty next year, there's going to be a lot more oil in the world market than there is right now. It may only last for 5 or 10 years or less, but it'll be there for a while. And when that oil comes out, it's going to pump the economy. The prices of gas is going to drop. The cost of doing business is going to drop. The cost of electricity is going to drop. It's going to be a bigger stimulus to this economy than any tax cut ever could be, as Rupert Murdoch pointed out. So my guess, well, I don't want to present this as a conspiracy theory. Let's just present this as a what if. What if this year W keeps the price of oil high and keeps the economy shaky by refilling the U.S. strategic oil reserves, by buying oil in the market, keeping the price high, so that the Democrats wrap themselves in this frenzy of it's the economy, stupid, it's going down the tubes, everything's going to heck, we got to stop everything. And then, just about the time of the election, keep in mind, this is a family that has conducted October surprises in at least three elections. National presidential elections. Right around August, July, August, September of next year. Actually, it'd probably be about 5-6 months earlier than that, because it takes a while for these things. It takes about 6 months for these things to echo through the economy. They start actually emptying the U.S. Strategic Reserve, selling that oil cheap to oil companies, to refineries in the United States, which would produce an oversupply in the world market, which would drop the world price of oil down to $20 a barrel, which would stimulate the economy. All of a sudden, things bounce back. And if you started doing this in February, March, April, maybe even December, January, you would see the effects by August, September, October, November of 2004. And you would have an economic recovery, or what looked like one. It wouldn't be a strong one. It wouldn't be a structural one. It wouldn't have any foundation in reality, in long-term reality. But it would certainly look good, and it could win this man the election. I think oil is at the core of George Bush's 2004 election plans, and I think Iraq was at the core of the oil strategy. Welcome to the vast radical middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey, Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen, we're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
The Stephens Show.
IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on!
Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troop lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy and
This is what they said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in, and then I'll watch them roll away again, yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away.
What a beautiful... I could listen to that song all day. Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. In our, if you're not in our chat room, you're missing something. DaveJNuthouse.com shares he put a link in here, and he says, Tom, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve is now buying all of its oil from... And I don't know if it's pronounced Coke or Cock or Coach or Kosh. It's K-O-C-H, oil. And he says, Koch is the founder of the John Birch Society, Cato Institute, Reason Magazine, and one of the foundations that funds most of the right. So, and he puts a link to it that's a government, the Department of Energy link. And he says they're buying it from Koch at this inflated price to fund the right wing. Is this a coincidence or conspiracy? Very interesting, very interesting. Fund the right wing, reflate the oil stocks, and on it goes. It gets more and more strange, more and more dangerous. And now, in addition to this, President Bush has signed an executive order, Executive Order 13303, that says that the oil industry is immune legally from, and I quote, from the order, any attachment, judgment, decree, lien, execution, garnishment, or other judicial process is prohibited and shall be deemed null and void with respect to the following: all Iraqi petroleum and petroleum products and interest therein and proceeds, obligations of any financial instruments of any nature whatsoever arising from or related to the sale or marketing thereof, and interest therein in which any foreign country or a nation thereof has any interest that are in the United States, that hereafter come within the United States, or that are or hereafter come within the possession or control of United States persons, which includes corporations. In other words, Halliburton can bribe people, they can kill people, they can commit any kind of crime they want, and they are immune under this. Nobody even noticed this thing. He signed this 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago. Amazing. Uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned.
listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network, check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News. I'm Corey Morris. One of the most well-known tales to come out of the September 11th attacks may in fact not be true. That's at least according to an investigation into the hijackings reported to Congress last month. Of course, two planes were crashed into the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center and a third into the Pentagon. But now there are new details emerging about what exactly may have happened on board that fourth plane, which crashed in a field outside Pittsburgh. More from correspondent Priscilla Huff.
Officially, no one will ever know exactly what transpired in the final minutes of Flight 93. An FBI spokeswoman says every shred of evidence indicates this plane crashed because of the heroic actions of the passengers. But now, an 858-page federal report suggests government investigators believe hijacker Ziad Jarrah was advised to crash the plane before the passengers succeeded in retaking it. That's apparently what FBI Director Robert Mueller told a closed-door congressional hearing last month. The plane was supposed to be crashed into the White House, but all 33 passengers and 7 crew members died when it crashed in a Pennsylvania field. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
Yet another American soldier is dead after being shot in Iraq. So far, military officials aren't saying anything about the circumstances surrounding the shooting, except the soldier was on guard duty in Baghdad and his death is still under investigation. The continuing security problems in Iraq are expected to come up today in Crawford, Texas, when President Bush meets with Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Richard Myers. A state of emergency has been declared in one South Florida town after a tornado ripped through Palm Beach County last night. About 500 homes were damaged, several cars blown off the roads, and also several semi-tractor trailers knocked off their wheels. The mayor of Riviera Beach has declared a state of emergency, and he imposed a curfew last night, hoping to prevent any possible looting. No one was seriously injured or killed in the twister. South Florida is bracing again for more severe weather. Forecasters say the same wind patterns that brought on yesterday's tornado will dominate the region today.
Okay, so I'm a teenager, right? And everyone's so quick to judge me. On the outside, I may look like... But on the inside, I'm all... Just because I look like... Doesn't mean I act that way. In fact, I'm actually involved in crime prevention. That sounds more like this. It's really a great way to convince adults that while you may be looking, you're really thinking.
Call 1-800-722-TEENS to find out how to make your community a safer place for everyone. Get involved. Get the number and call. 1-800-722-TEENS. A public service message from the Crime Prevention Coalition of America, the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Ad Council.
The battle over missing Democrats in Texas is now in the courts, with Republicans and Democrats suing their colleagues. 11 Democrats from the Texas State Senate are holed up in an Albuquerque, New Mexico hotel room to block voting on a Republican-backed congressional redistricting plan. Americans are being urged to take extra steps to protect themselves from mosquito bites as West Nile virus activity heats up. Federal health officials have reported in the past 2 weeks alone the number of confirmed human West Nile cases has tripled. Mosquito repellents containing DEET are the best way to ward off bites and any possible infection.
This is Dr. Danny. Paul, you're on the air.
Hey,
Dr. Danny.
Hey.
Man, listen. We're having a hard time potty training our son.
Well, that's a common problem. How old is your boy?
He's 26.
Paul, I have some bad news. At this age, potty training will be near impossible.
You're kidding me?
No, but Paul, I do have some good news.
All right, man. What?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
A panel created to advise NASA as it prepares to restart the shuttle programs, wrapping up 3 days of meetings at the Kennedy Space Center. More on the story from correspondent Rory O'Neill.
Former astronaut Richard Covey flew on the first shuttle mission after the loss of Challenger and co-chairs the Return to Flight Task Group. He says NASA faces many of the same issues today as it did following the 1986 disaster.
You know, from my experience, looking at this, having been a part of the Challenger, there are some. It's different in some aspects, but there are some similarities.
Covey says his panel was put together to ensure that recommendations made by the Columbia Accident Investigation Board are implemented by NASA. The CAIB's full report is expected later this month. Rory O'Neill at the Kennedy Space Center.
A 40-year-old Vatican document is bringing more controversy to the church. It says if a priest tries to solicit sex from someone trying to give a confession, the allegation against the priest should be pursued, quote, in a most secretive way. Church leaders say the document's taken out of context. I'm Corey Morris. This is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Sex and the single driver. No, it's not the latest XXX film or a video on golf swings. And you'll never guess its producer-director. When I come back, I'll tell you all about it.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover. And from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Blockit Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Blockit Fabric by Kimberly Clark.
Sex and the single driver is a favorite feature of insurance companies. And if you're a middle-aged, married female, you're the star of this show. Yes, statistics show younger drivers are involved in more fatalities than mature adults. And singles have less safe driving records than those in wedding bliss. And here's the clincher, gentlemen. Males are deadlier drivers than females. In fact, a National Safety Council survey found fatal accident rates were 63% higher for men. So ladies, start your engines and enjoy the spotlight. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back to the third hour in the Democracy Zone. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting coast to coast on terrestrial radio stations, broadcasting from deep in outer space on the Sirius radio satellite system, Sirius Channel 145, and broadcasting live on the Internet. It's a new thing. Radio stations are dropping their streams on the Internet. It's so cool. RadioPower.org is carrying this, IEAmericaRadio.com, Live365.com, and there are archives at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Newt Gingrich has turned into an FDR Republican, I guess. The former House Speaker, who once led the fight for a balanced budget, according to today's Wall Street Journal, suggests Mr. Bush consider boosting spending in the fiscal year beginning October 1st on roads. Proven job producers. Let's bring back the WPA. Let's do anything to get this economy working, Gingrich is saying, so that George Jr. can get elected for the first time as President of the United States. Now, actually, really and truly elected. Interesting theory. The question for the hour, how does affluenza influence electoral politics? And this is really the intersection of two topics
that I find fascinating. I wrote about the religion of consumption in Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight. And we've been talking a lot about electoral politics here today on the program. And I see this intersection, this belief that what America offers, that the essence of the American dream is get stuff. The more stuff you get, the happier you're going to be. And we know at some level that it ain't true, you know, that in fact too much stuff can even be a burden. And yet that's the hype. And it's interesting to explore, number one, that, and number two, what might this have to do with the political situation? I'm curious about that. John DeGraff has been producing documentaries primarily for public television for 25 years. More than 15 of his programs have been broadcast in primetime on PBS. He's the recipient of more than 100 regional, national, and international awards for filmmaking, has produced the popular PBS specials Running Out of Time, an examination of overwork and time pressure in America, and Affluenza, a scathing and humorous critique of American consumerism, and he's co-author of the book Affluenza, the All-Consuming Epidemic. More recently, he served as the co-chair of the Public Policy Committee for the Simplicity Forum, national think tank for the voluntary simplicity movement. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Well, thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you for showing up here. Share with our audience, first of all, your concept of affluenza, this new meme or thought virus that you've labeled. What is affluenza?
Affluenza is a socially transmitted epidemic, I think, of waste, overwork, stress, debt, all really coming from our endless pursuit of more stuff as Americans, and from the idea that you mentioned that he has the most toys wins, that the whole purpose of our economy is to grow, to produce more, to have more in a material sense. It's a sickness, I think, of our society, and of course spreading to many other societies as well.
Yeah, and the symptoms of the virus are what?
Well, they include a lot of things, everything from shopping fever to the rash of bankruptcies, to the stress of excess, to fractured or families, community chills. Lots of impacts that this disease has on our social, social body, our body as a country.
Right. We're speaking with John DeGraff, who is the author of Affluenza, the All-Consuming Epidemic, as well as the PBS special Running Out of Time, and Affluenza. John, first of all, is there a website where people can find out more information about your books and your writing and thinking?
Well, they can find out more about Affluenza at www.pbs.org/affluenza. But my current thinking is really much more centered on my new book, which has just come out. I'm the editor of a new book called Take Back Your Time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really about doing something, I think, to combat affluenza as a society. It's about beginning to trade productivity, as we see it in our economy, for time instead of money and stuff. And it's the handbook for an event which we call Take Back Your Time Day, which will be held on October 24th of this year. It'll be the first year of Take Back Your Time Day. It's an effort to create a national dialogue about how overworked we are and the price we pay for our consuming and our emphasis on stuff in the form of overwork and overscheduling and stress and burnout, and the impacts of all of that on our health, our families, communities, environment, and so forth. So that's my passion right now, is building the Take Back Your Time Day event.
Well, let's get into that then.
Sure.
Graf, what? First of all, I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that in France, by law, everyone's mandated to take a six-week vacation every year.
Right, and a 35-hour work week.
Right.
On top
of
that.
Is that the sort of thing that you're suggesting, that we need to have a governmental policy, or you know, drive this thing at that level, or are you suggesting something more grassroots, waking up individuals? Where do you suggest we start?
Yeah, let me separate first my views from Take Back Your Time Day. Take Back Your Time Day is a nonpartisan educational event. seen as much like the first Earth Day, really to kind of awaken the national consciousness to this problem of time poverty and overwork. And we really want as many ideas from as many points of view to come out in this as possible. So Take Back Your Time Day itself is not endorsing particular solutions. We're just trying to get the dialogue going. Now, in terms of my own personal views, I certainly believe it's scandalous that the United States remains the only modern industrial nation that has no minimum paid leave at all, no minimum paid leave requirement. Americans average about 2 weeks of paid vacation, while most Europeans get 5, 6, 7 weeks, as you mentioned. And in fact, Americans are working 350 hours or 9 full weeks more each year than our counterparts in Western Europe work. And
more than we were in the 1950s and 60s.
And really, several weeks more in total hours than we ourselves were in the 1960s, for example, when we were predicting that we would have all kinds of leisure time at the end of the 20th century. We're actually working more today.
So the medication for the virus of influenza, you're suggesting, is time.
That's certainly one of them, yes. I mean, it's one of the things that I believe we can begin to do as a society. Because
now, what can people do who have a job and they've got to go to work, they got to pay the bills, they got kids in college or they got kids in school, they're worried about their future, they're trying to save money? I mean, we can't just walk up to them and say, hey, you need to take more time off.
No, I don't think we can do that. I think that people obviously will have to look at their own individual solutions, but I think as a country we need to begin to give people the options of more free time, and especially as we negotiate contracts in the future, we need to take productivity gains where people want it. They need to be allowed to take time instead of more money as an option. That's an option for many people in many countries, not yet an option here. If we want to put people to work, we talk about in this society about how, you know, we've got serious unemployment right now. And we often talk as if the only answer, and you mentioned Gingrich, is to spend more and grow more in order to put these people to work. But there's another answer. It's an answer that we looked at during the Great Depression and in other times in American history when we had serious unemployment, and that's the answer of work sharing, really spreading the existing work around to put people to work instead of just thinking that we can grow on forever, because we can't.
What about the theory, John DeGraff? We're speaking with John DeGraff, the author of Affluenza and also the author of Take Back Your Time. What about the theory that if people engage in voluntary simplicity, if people downshift their lives, if people start consuming less, that the economy might contract, that it could throw the nation into a tailspin, that it could be a disaster for the country, and that people should just do what George Bush says, which is go out and buy.
Buy, spend, shop.
Right. I mean, what about that in a macroeconomic point of view? I mean,
number one, we're not going to have a change to a simple life overnight. I mean, if everybody did this tomorrow, then the results you're talking about would occur. It would be a contraction that would probably be disastrous. But I think this is something that, if it happens at all, I hope will happen over a generation. And I think the way that we can solve it, the dislocations and things that could otherwise occur, is by shortening work time. That's what other countries are doing, and they're finding that it's not destroying their economies. Since 1970, American work hours have gone up. All the European countries, those work hours have gone down. They've traded productivity for time instead of money, and those economies are not collapsing.
Yeah, although many of them still have highly protectionist trade policies.
So do we.
Even in the face of WTO and GATT. We do, yeah, in certain industries, in steel, for example, and in agriculture. But in textiles, we just kicked the doors open and said that's it. You know, Nike can go to wherever they want.
Sure.
And that's not happening all around the world. How does this affect those kinds of issues, issues of international trade? How does the United States remain competitive, as it were? Is that even a legitimate concern? And how does this tie in to electoral politics, if it does, in your mind?
Well, I think it ties into electoral politics.
We've got about a minute and a half left.
Okay, that we hope that within the next year, and in the 2004 elections at least, that every candidate running for Congress, for the presidency around the country, will be asked what they're going to do help Americans solve this terrible overwork and time dilemma. I think there are already some bills in Congress about minimum paid leave, about minimum sick leave, about benefits for part-time workers and things, issues like living wage. All those kinds of things certainly will come into play. Mandatory overtime is a key one. A number of people who are being just required to work hours far longer than they would otherwise choose to work. Other countries have dealt with these issues. They have public policies about these things.
These should become part of electoral politics.
They should be part of the dialogue, right. Absolutely, and I think they will be.
Well said. John DeGraff, the author of Affluenza, the author of Take Back Your Time, npr.org/affluenza, and you can find your books, I'm sure, in any bookstore, on Amazon, places like that, all over the place. John, thanks very much for being with us on the Tom Hartman program today.
Oh, sure. Time Day is www.timeday.org, if people want to check our website for that, too.
Great, and that's scheduled for October 24th of this fall, right? October 24th, 2003, timeday.org. Time to take back your time. And it's going to be a great teaching. John, thank you very much for joining us. Hope to see you again. Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is the Tom Hartman radio program on the IE America radio network. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Wouldn't it be great if you could get everything you need for successful estate planning in one package? Well, now you can. The new Master Estate Kit offers a collection of legal power that would cost you $500 or more if prepared by a lawyer. Here's what you get. First, a legal will kit, one praised by nearly 500,000 buyers. Second, a living will kit that assures your wishes will be followed in case of an irreversible injury or illness. And third, a power of attorney kit that includes all the required forms. Order today and we'll include the new Family Legal Guide. It answers all your questions about small claims court, landlord agreements, personal bankruptcy, and much more. An $80 value, the complete Master Estate Kit costs only $39.95. For immediate delivery of the Master Estate Kit and your free family legal guide, call 1-800-221-0393. Pay only $39.95 plus shipping. Every kit carries an unlimited money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-221-0393 now. That's 1-800-221-0393.
Can we hope to achieve real progress while corporations wield control over our government and many civic institutions? At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we believe revoking illegitimate corporate power is a prerequisite for making genuine progress on the issues that affect us all. If you'd like to help restore citizen authority over corporations, get involved. Visit us at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find AMIBA online at amiba.net.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
I would like to see a law that says your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy.
And you hate me?
Ooh,
you hate me?
Why don't
me?
Have something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Yes, well, let's take us there to democracy. Creating a new renaissance, a new rebirth of democracy in the United States of America. This is the Democracy Zone, the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. If you'd like to be on the program today, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. TGIF, thank goodness it's Friday, thank God it's Friday. Shabbat Shalom, whatever, however you say it. It's the end of the week. Any topic you'd like to call and talk about, feel free. If there's something you want to get off your chest, I've got some emails here that I'd like to share with you, some messages. Also wanted to wrap up some of the news stuff. Just you know, kind of stitching together the things of the week. Also in our chat room, Bartlett for President made the interesting observation, Bush is kind of like scabies. He won't go away if you ignore him.
It's indeed. This itches a little.
And I think the country has an itch. What's the cure? What's the medicine? I think Al Gore started articulating it very well yesterday, although he's not the first to be saying this. It appears that Joe Lieberman's the only one who's not, in fact. And oddly, he's leading in the national polls. I hope that's just a function of name recognition. Because I am just... I'm reluctant to say it, but Joe Lieberman might even send me away from the Democratic Party. Not that I'm some, you know, big guy in the Democratic Party or anything like that. But I was planning on voting for the Democrat this year, which I haven't done. I didn't do last year, so I voted for Ralph. Anyway, each new job that's posted that has anything to do with computers is flooded with 300 applicants, says Bjorn. Watlin, who sent me an email, he says, he's talking about the unemployed. He says, that's been the case for over a year. I'm now underemployed. Even if your product costs less, there won't be as many people working to buy your stuff. My solution, get rid of free trade and raise the minimum wage to a livable wage. Amen, Bjorn. I agree. I am with you. That's absolutely what we need to be doing. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Paul in Hollywood is on the line. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Paul.
Hey, Tom. Did anybody tell you that Ashcroft dropped like 96 indictments against Koch Oil the minute the Bush got into office?
You're kidding.
No, that was buried under the Mark Rich thing. All the time the Mark Rich thing was going on, Ashcroft was getting rid of these felony indictments, and he came away with like a parking ticket. And Koch Oil is where Anna Nicole gets her money. She married the eldest of Koch Oil.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for educating me about this.
That is one of the biggest scandals that has gone on in this administration. It starts from day one. And that's why Mark Rich was so much in the headlines to bury the Koch story.
Really?
Yep.
And this is sort of like Jimmy Hoffa and Richard Nixon. You know, he gave Nixon $500,000 in cash, and Nixon dropped the indictment on the Sun Valley land deal. And then the first thing Bobby Kennedy did when he came back into office was reinstate it, which put Hoffa in a frenzy. He goes to Marcello and Trafficante and says, you know, that they have to assassinate the president. And there's some who think that that led to the killing of JFK. But it sounds like, this is bizarre.
That's why he had no time to investigate terrorists before 9/11. He was so busy getting rid of all these indictments.
What was Cantrell being indicted for? We got about half a minute.
I do not know that. You're going to have to struggle on that one. But I'd go towards Texas Observer people. They're probably the ones who are going to be able to tell you that story.
Yeah. There's a book on Bush's chemical dependency, meaning oil and the chemical industry in Texas, which I've got around the house here someplace. I'll bet a lot of this stuff is in there. I'm going to have to dig into this. Paul, thank you very much.
Okay. Take care.
Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman. Uncommon sense from the radical middle. And we'll be back in just a moment.
Think you're not involved in your community? Think again. Spending your money with local businesses is more than an economic choice. It's a way you can have a say in the look and feel of your hometown. By creating a demand for local goods and services, we can ensure a place for the independent businesses that help give our communities character and keep them unique. The American Independent Business Alliance encourages you to get involved. Support your homegrown businesses. Find Amoeba online at amiba.net.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller. The axe has fallen on workers in the city of Pittsburgh. In a desperate attempt to keep the city out of bankruptcy, this week Mayor Tom Murphy announced the immediate closing of most non-essential city services and the layoff of 731 workers, or one in every six city employees. All 200 school crossing guards are out of work, and 10% of the police force will be laid off as well. With these cuts and the complete depletion of a $28 million rainy day fund, Pittsburgh will just about break even for the rest of the fiscal year, provided anemic tax revenues and state and federal aid don't continue their decline.
New York City's firefighters smell a rat. Thousands of them, in fact. Wet weather coupled with cutbacks in garbage collection have led to an explosion in New York's rodent population, and the city's old firehouses are especially prone to infestations. On Tuesday, a firehouse in Queens was closed permanently after becoming overrun by rats, and on Wednesday, a request from the Uniformed Firefighters Association for information on the pests yielded 17 complaints in only 4 hours.
10 years ago, baggage handlers, ticket agents, and other ground staff at Northwest Airlines took concessions in their contract in exchange for stock in the company. The deal was such that Northwest agreed to buy back the stock at a later date, which would enrich the workers to the tune of $100 million. That date has arrived, but Northwest now says it can't make the transaction, citing the slump in the airline industry. So the workers, represented by the International Association of Machinists, have filed suit to force the buyback and claim their money. They joined Northwest flight attendants who sued the airline in June after the company reneged on a similar deal.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit our website, laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest.
Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
We have grown, although our love is still special. Let's take a chance and fly away somewhere.
Listening to the real Radio Free America, the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. The president has pretty much nearly played his cards when it comes to policy moves that can broadly shape the economy by Election Day 2004, according to an article by Greg Hitt in today's Wall Street Journal. I'm telling you, you read the publications of the wealthy and powerful in America, and it is amazing how they just lay this stuff out. They're talking to themselves, and it's like, in 2003, for instance, I'm reading from this article, in 2003, for instance, those making between $100,000 and $200,000 received 23.2% of the benefits of the latest Bush tax bill, while those making between $40,000 and $50,000 received only 4.8% of the benefits. Because he's talking about how Mr. Bush will have to rely increasingly on measures with more political symbolism than economic significance if he's going to win this election. Well, and then this is the article in which they bring up Newt Gingrich saying, well, it's time to start building roads to put people back to work to stimulate the economy. Yes, Mr. FDR Gingrich. Pardon me, got distracted there. 1-800-TALK-YES if you'd like to be on the program today. 1-800-825-5937. And Pablo in Santa Fe is on the line. Pablo, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
Real good. I just wanted to briefly make a comment. I saw Al Gore's speech on C-SPAN last night, and that was, I'd have to say, that's the best speech by a prominent Democrat I've heard in many, many years. He basically came as close as you can come to calling the Bush administration fascist without actually using the F word.
And liars, without using the L word.
Yeah, that was really good to see. But thanks, and keep up the good work.
Okay. Thank you, Pablo. I appreciate the call, and I agree with you. I encourage people to check out Gore's speech. The text of it was on commondreams.org yesterday, or linked to it. It's on moveon.org also, of course. That's the group that had sponsored the gig at which he spoke. And I believe that C-SPAN or MSNBC, one of them has an actual link to the video clip or an audio clip. You can actually listen to it or watch it. Al Gore is coming into his own as a great public speaker. You know, it's amazing how they spun that stuff. You know, the Al Gore, this is like the Vanishing Hitchhiker story. Everybody thinks that it was some kind of a mystery that everybody came to think that Al Gore had said that he had invented the Internet. Turns out, Al Gore never said that. Honest to God, Al Gore never said that he invented the Internet. Rush Limbaugh said that Al Gore said that. And it became one of those myths that was perpetuated by the Republican myth-making machine over and over and over again by way of saying, we can't trust this guy. And it wasn't even based on a truth. Nothing new with the pack of cons these days that are coming out of the woodwork. Tom, I consider myself a progressive, says Aaron Smith. Sent me an email, and I'm sorry, not Aaron Smith. Aaron in Eugene, Oregon. He actually has a different last name. He says, I consider myself a progressive, but I think the Terminator can do some good with this run for governor. Think about how many star-struck people will get involved with the electoral process. We know the more that vote, the more we'll realize what the USA is all about. Great to hear you in Eugene, Oregon. Aaron, thank you.
And, yeah, maybe. Maybe. Maybe Schwarzenegger. See, it's amazing to notice how the serious cons, I mean the real cons, not the Rockefeller Republicans, not the Eisenhower conservatives, not the honest conservatives. There's still some out there. We've had a few of them on this show. But the new conservatives, the faux news cons, how these cons are all in a near panic about Schwarzenegger. Why? Because he's a liberal. Sort of. I would guess that if you were to stack up Schwarzenegger's politics and Howard Dean's politics, that you would find that they are not that different. And I realize that, you know, that's probably sending shivers through the spine of anybody on the left. But Schwarzenegger has a long history of speaking out for and aggressively promoting social causes. And he's saying we ought to balance our budget. And Howard Dean balanced the budget here in Vermont and was a proponent of social causes. I think that this may, I mean, the Republic, the cons who are running this government, these right wing extremists in the Bush administration, are so freaked out about what they call the rhinos, Republican in name only, like Olympia Snowe and George Voinovich. I mean, they hate these people. They run commercials in their districts blasting them, calling them, implying that they're an unpatriotic and anti-American. And Schwarzenegger, I suspect, is going to be another Olympia Snowe and George Voinovich, and it's going to produce some very interesting results if he gets elected. If he gets elected. J.D. in Sherman, Texas says, "Hi, Tom. I just listened to what Billy and Mark were saying about free trade, and yesterday on C-SPAN I heard John Kerry say he believed in free trade. The scary thing is that too many people who call themselves liberal have bought into this, and it's going to be difficult to re-educate them. It seems that the only thing that's going to wake people up is for them to lose their own job. This isn't free trade. It's neocolonialism." Exactly right, J.D. Exactly right. But most people don't know what the phrase neocolonialism means. We're chipping away at this in this program. We've talked about it a little bit this week. I've talked about it over the last 4 months, here and there a little bit. And we'll continue delving into this. I don't want to turn this into a kind of NPR-like educational program. On the one hand, on the other hand, I think it's you know really fascinating for people to learn these things and to get into this stuff. Our quote for the day, by the way, from John F. Kennedy, "Liberty without learning is always in peril, and learning without liberty is always in vain." J.D., in his email, he wraps it up. He says, "A good read is David Corton's When Corporations Rule the World," which I agree. David Corton is a good friend of mine and a brilliant man, and a world-class economist. And his book, When Corporations Rule the World, should be required reading in every high school in America. And then he also says, in an online book called Feudalism, a.k.a. American Capitalism, which I have not yet had an opportunity to check out, but I'm setting this over by my computer. I'm going to look into it after we get off the air and check that book out. George Bushisms, George Bush myths. On 62402... This, by the way, from the House.gov website, the Appropriations Committee. On 62402, "We're working hard," George Bush said, speaking at the Port of Elizabeth, New Jersey, in front of a bunch of sailors and port workers. He says, "We're working hard to make sure your job is easier and that the port is safer. The Customs Service is working with overseas ports and shippers to improve its knowledge of container shipments, assessing risks so that we have a better feel of who to look at and what we ought to worry about." End quote. That was a little more than a year ago. That was the myth coming from the Bush myth machine. Now, what is the truth? From this House.gov website, and I quote, "The president's 2003 and 2004 budget provides
Zero!
For port security grants.
Zero!
The GOP Congress has provided only $250 million for port security grants, 35% less than authorized. Additionally, in August, the president vetoed all $39 million for the Container Security Initiative, which he had specifically touted in his previous speech. Why? To pay for tax cuts for the rich. Got to pay for those tax cuts for the rich. We may not have secure ports, but our rich people have more money. Hi, Tom. Great show. I read an interesting article in last week's Economist. Says Sherry, didn't include the city here. It was decrying political meddling and regulation. Examples of recent political interventions included the recent FCC rules, relaxations, and energy deregulation. What I found really interesting was an undercurrent running through the argument, through the article, that big donations by corporations to politicians have resulted in an previously unheard of amount of political meddling and nitty-gritty regulation. Let me encapsulize this for you. What Sherry's talking about, this article in The Economist says, basically, you know, the official position of the Economist is that they don't like government regulating business. Of course. I mean, who cares if people get cancer because of air pollution? Who cares if people die because the water isn't safe to drink? If somebody's making a profit, that's our business to protect. That's the official position of most of the con organizations and broadly the position of the Economist. And so they're saying, and they've been boosting. I mean, you know, the whole con movement up to this point has been boosting the idea of corporations paying off politicians, well, making campaign contributions, you know, to cut to politicians to change or remove regulations, the whole deregulation movement. Let's deregulate energy in California. What do you get? Brownouts. Huge energy bills. And millions of bucks in the pockets of George W. Bush's best buddies, like Ken Lay, who had his own private desk at the White House, and on whose personal jet George Bush flew many of the trips during the campaign in 2000. But what has happened now is that corporations have gotten so deeply embedded in the politics of regulation. And the regulators have become so interdependent with the politicians. The idea of independent regulation has pretty much gone away. This is this whole study that was in the Times today that Henry Waxman's committee commissioned that the Bush administration has taken science and will either lie about it or will require, as with the global warming things in the last EPA study, will require their regulatory agencies to remove these things from their reports, to overlook them, to ignore them. So now they're getting bite in the butt by the same thing. Companies are, in fact, very worried about all this political meddling and nitty-gritty regulating because it's resulted in a new risk for corporate planning, what they call stroke-of-the-pen risk. A company might make, this is back Sherry's email, a company might make big donations and get big help from their favorite politicians only to have everything vanish when that industry falls out of favor, a la Enron. Or if another politician gets elected who's not in your pocket. Worse yet, if you're a small business without the ability to purchase such assistance. She says, interesting that corporate donations are now making the business environment so unstable. Sherry, thanks for pointing that out. Great one. A great one. Very, very interesting stuff. We have a few other things here that I wanted to get to. The following up on some of our topics from today. Oh, Jim's on the line. We have a caller on the other hand, 1-800-TALK-YES, 825-5937. Jim in Tennessee is on the line. Jim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
I'm one of your truck drivers listening to you on Sirius Radio.
Hey, cool, Jim.
Yeah, and I remember the Al Gore speech where his wording was that he was glad that he took the initiative. I remember that operative word he used. He took the initiative to author and sponsor the legislation that created the Internet.
Right.
It had already, I forget what it was called, DARPANET. I've heard several different names for what the Internet had been when it was a hookup amongst research universities. But that's all it was. And it took legislation, and he was one who authored the bill, and he's the one who sponsored the bill that did, in fact, create the Internet. He never said anything about being an inventor.
Right. I know. But Rush Limbaugh said he did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well,
and that myth has gotten repeated.
It's amazing how many of the lies the Republicans claim that happen to be their own lies.
Yeah.
Their own lies. They accuse these lies that are theirs of being someone else's. I've done that many a time with somebody who said something like that, and I said, well, he said it. Gore didn't say it. The Republicans said that. I mean, if in fact it's a lie, it's their lie.
Right, right.
We would never have any... The only way that the Iraqis could kill Americans is if we sent Americans to Iraq.
Yeah.
Follow me?
It's true. And they knew it.
Oh, yeah.
And
we know it all along.
Bush.
The only way Iraq could ever kill any Americans is if we sent them there.
Yeah, Bush lied and thousands died is the slogan that's being used now.
I love your show. It's like going to a seminar or something. It's like going to a civics class. listening to Mike Malloy is like listening. It's like going to a free freedom rally or something. But your class is the class where we could all really learn something.
Well, thank you. I hope that's a good thing.
We need more like you.
Great. Well, thank you, Jim.
Okay.
I appreciate your listening, and thanks for sharing that with us, and call in anytime. Great to hear from our trucker listeners on Channel 145, Sirius 145. Sirius now has, by the way, a receiver that you can take out of your car and bring into your home. I was telling somebody about this last night, and they're not much. They're like $100 or something, and I think that they charge $12 a month as their subscription. So it's a very, I suppose, depending on your budget, a pretty reasonable thing. You get all this music, no commercials and things. It's way cool stuff. Thanks for the call, Jim. Talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few moments.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Hi, Tom Baudet for Motel6.com. Next time you're goofing around on the Internet, you know, in other words, the next time you're at work, click on over to Motel6.com for Click 6 Web Bargains. Those are special discounts at hundreds of locations that you can only get when you book online. Just look for the Click 6 icon at Motel6.com and then get back to work. I'm Tom Baudet, and we'll leave the light and the modem on for you. And a core hotel.
Are you tired of progressives spending all their energy on defensive struggles where victory simply maintains the status quo? We are too, and we're doing something about it. At ReclaimDemocracy.org, we're taking the initiative to revoke corporate power and restore citizen authority over corporations to enable genuine progress on the many issues that we all care about. Get involved. Visit us online at ReclaimDemocracy.org or call 406-582-1224.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights.
Congress. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that.
Available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Show.
Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah?
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and we do need to stand together, or we shall all hang separately, as Ben Franklin said. As the National Air Traffic Controllers Association resists administration privatization efforts, President John Carr writes to Transportation Mineta to note other jobs that are deemed inherent government functions. Okay, this is the head of the Air Traffic Controllers Union. And he's writing to the Air Traffic Controllers Association. I think the union got nuked, but this is the closest they have now. And he points out to the transportation secretary, and these guys, they're trying to turn everything that has any potential to squeeze a little cash out of it over to one of the good buddies of this administration who donate campaign money to them. He says seafood inspectors, fire retardant chemical inspectors, caterpillar monitors, and circus elephant regulators are considered inherent government functions. They're not talking about privatizing them. He says, I ask that you extend the same level of safety to our skies as you do to our seafood. What a radical idea for this administration. Time magazine, George W. Bush hasn't mentioned Osama bin Laden's name in months. Today is day 180 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. I think that's just about a half a year. And day 696 in the search for Osama bin Laden. But as Time magazine says, and I quote, George W. Bush has not mentioned Osama bin Laden's name in months, end quote. Last fall, as the U.S. began planning the invasion of Iraq, Washington shifted many of its highly classified special forces units and officers who had been hunting bin Laden in Afghanistan, moving them to Iraq, where they performed covert operations before the war began. Quoting still from Time magazine, the administration was warned by skeptics about this. Dangerous stuff. Our program today was produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont and Joe McPherson in Georgia. And engineered in Detroit by Steph Stryker and Jay Balicki. Thanks for joining us today. And tune in Monday, same time, same place.
From those ads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee.